San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, January 12, 2020. Today's lesson is One Step at a Time with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Kaur. Good morning. It is lovely to see you this morning. I am so pleased. I'm also still excited from last weekend, and we did our intention setting last weekend during the service, and we also had an evening affirmative prayer process. Now, we have forms that you can use, and if you would like one of these forms, just ask for one. The process is online on our webpage, and just go to podcasts, and it's the affirmative prayer process there. You can listen to that as you go through the process. Okay, so there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation, and I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one absolute, indestructible and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And I say that to anchor us not only in today's lesson, but in this new year, this new decade of 2020, this new time when things are changing. Did you know we're going to have 13 full moons this year, and one of them is going to be a blue moon? Isn't that exciting? I love a full moon. There's something very powerful about the energy of a full moon. And it goes, as we can look at it, step by step through its phases, the moon does. And it looks like it's changing. It's changing, but it's not. It's only reflecting the sun from where it happens to be in the sky, where the sun is in relationship to the moon. So when we have a full moon, the sun is fully shining on the moon so that we think that it's whole, where it's been whole all along. Today's lesson is One Step at a Time. And I love talking about things that have steps because they all go back to our five-step affirmative prayer process. For me, it's like no matter what steps you've got, I got five steps to affirmative prayer. And so that's what we actually are creating in our intentions. It's a framework of an affirmative prayer. And so the framework is set up, and then the specific intentions are unique. Now, why is that important? Well, that's important because that's just exactly how the universe operates. There is one divine creative process. And this is an example of it. This is our teaching symbol that tells us with the circle that God is all there is. There's only one. And then with it kind of partitioned into the three segments, we think, okay, spirit, soul, body. Idea, creative process, outcome. But it has this V in it. And what is that V for? It's to remind us that this is the direction. From all ideas, it has to go through the process and down here to come out. So whatever ideas go in, those are the divine ideas of the universe. That's what created the universe. It's also indicative of our prayer process. We recognize that God is all there is. We know that we are one with God. There's nothing else we can be. We know and accept our good. We release it to the law to be worked upon. And it comes to us in form. Everything in the universe does that. And that's why We individualize the process in our lives, no matter what we're doing in our lives. We are using this divine creative process. We're just using it uniquely for ourselves, and that's very powerful. Today, we're talking about taking steps. If you look on your program insert, there's an icon for the one step at a time, and it starts with our thoughts. It says, you are here. And then the next little cycle it goes to is, it's on the front, it's kind of faint, right there. The next it goes in this cycle is our feelings, and then our actions, and then the results. But we always have to know we are here. And that's part of our January theme, start where you are. So we're starting right where we are. And that is where? Here. And that is when? Now. So here and now, we are starting where we are. I'm going to be talking about the prayer process through today. And this is a little book by Ernest Holmes, the founder of the Science of Mind movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. So it's called Discover a Richer Life. And he says in this about practical prayer, throughout the ages, in one form or another, in one way or another, man has thought in what he considered a prayerful manner and has been able to obtain beneficial results. Many and widely varied explanations have been advanced as to why prayer is answered, as well as to why it sometimes apparently is not answered. One simple fact does stand out relative to any prayer. It is a certain process of thought, as a result of which there are definite, specific results. Regardless of what religious, philosophical, or psychological interpretations we may desire to give such a process of thought, prayer seems to be a universal fact effective in the lives of all men. Prayer is considered communication with the divine. Now, even back before recorded history, mankind was communing in a way with what he recognized as a power greater than he was. Sometimes they looked at it as gods of nature, gods of war, gods of the hunt, gods of fruitfulness, gods of fertility. But it was always something that they knew there was something greater, and they wanted to commune with it. We do that now, we just do it with a whole lot of documentation, a whole lot of lectures, a whole lot of philosophies, but it's still prayer, it's still communing. We in Science of Mind call these prayers spiritual mind treatments. Not Christian, not Hindu, not Buddhist, not Catholic, spiritual, because we recognize that everything is formed from the one divine spirit, the one source, the one creator. Therefore, it is spiritual in that it is not physical. It is not of heavy form and density like here on the earth. It is out there everywhere. Ernest Holmes says, spiritual mind healing will not be complete until the individual is attuned to the infinite, meaning we need to focus our mind on not the physical, but focus our mind on the fullness of the universe. It will not be complete until he gets a clearance from a sense of rejection and guilt. Therefore, he will have to forgive himself in others. In addition, the individual must come to realize intellectually and emotionally that there is nothing in the universe to be afraid of. There is nothing in the universe to be afraid of. And he said in here, realize intellectually and emotionally. I'm going to come back to that when I talk about the fire and the process and the fire that go into our prayers. Ernest says, there is no fundamental evil. There is no duality. This is the essence of spiritual mind healing. And as the consciousness perceives this transcendence, it almost automatically sloughs off all other things. It sloughs off all other things. It's like, how can the darkness stay when there's light? Well, it can't, because the light dispels the darkness. If you walk into a room and you flip on a light switch, the darkness is gone. Well, where did it go? It didn't go anywhere, because it wasn't real in the first place. It was simply a place where light had not been shining. So whatever we think of as deep and dark in our life, we can bring to it an awareness of life, of light, of beauty. Our theme for this year is experiences in consciousness. Ernest says, there's a rhythm in the universe, and if it were rightly understood, there would be no conflict. Wouldn't that be wonderful if right here, right now, everybody understood and all the conflict in our world just dissipated? Everybody could walk the street peacefully. They could go home comfortably. They wouldn't be ducking and hiding and running and fearful. They would not be living in fear. So yeah, if this rhythm in the universe were rightly understood, there would be no conflict. There is a peace in the universe, a freedom from confusion, which rightly understood would heal all troubles. There is an all-encompassing love in the universe, which rightly understood would heal all difficulties. And here's what I have underlined. Everything below the threshold of consciousness is subject to the level of awareness to which our consciousness has evolved. Okay? Everything below the level of our consciousness, the stuff that we aren't consciously aware of in our day-to-day life, is subject to our subconscious and what our subconscious knows. One of the ways we change our subconscious is to consciously focus on things, to consciously affirm the truth. And it gets into our subconscious, and it replaces and it deletes those old ideas, the ones that said not good enough, the ones that said not enough money, the ones that said too slow, too fast, too tall, too short, too thin, too fat. All of those too in a negative form, not enough, not good enough. So all of those get wiped away when we consciously increase our awareness and our consciousness, our awareness of the divine. This is because, he says, the higher form of intelligence governs the lower. Everything less than conscious intelligence is unconscious intelligence, which functions either on the pattern inherent within it or injected into it by the individual mind or the race mind. Race being human race. That human race over all time. How many of us have habits? Everybody's got a habit. Not every habit is good. Some of us have great habits of waking up excited in the morning and thrilled and jump up and say thank you and go into the day with a grateful heart. And it's wonderful on those days that we do it. Other of us have habits that may be, oh, it's morning already. Now I have to get up. Now I have to get ready for work. I'm going to shower. I'm going to wash my hair. Oh, I forgot to buy shampoo. So here I am with just a little tiny bit of shampoo and a lot of hair. So these things, we are looking at what are the habits of our lives and how are they serving us? We want everything we do, everything we consciously do to increase our awareness, to become our new habit. Now, don't start thinking that every habit that you have is not a good habit. Most of them are. It's the most of the habits that you think about having are good. It's the habits we don't think about, that we don't give our attention to. Those are the ones we could stand to look at again. There is a quote, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's a biblical quote. And prayer and spiritual mind treatment does that. We're transforming our minds by consciously thinking about what we're thinking about, consciously putting in our awareness of the one that is in all of us. We are consciously renewing our mind. Now, there is a religious science catchphrase that we have used since we were called Religious Science, even though we are now Centers for Spiritual Living. And that is, change your thinking, change your life. Such a simple statement. But when we're going through this year in our experience, our explorations in consciousness, we are exploring ways consciously to change our thinking, confidently that it is changing our life. When we change the way we look at things, the things we look at change. They truly do. There is a Hawaiian healing process called Ho'oponopono. And the whole point of Ho'oponopono is to change the way we look at things, and to be loving and forgiving. And so through that process, people have been healed. And it's not just the healing of others, it's the healing of our own hearts. We're changing the way we look at things. And so not only are they changing, we are changing. So we're starting where we are. This is the world-famous spiritual literacy book that I couldn't find for, 7 months or so, Noble? 7 months or so after my husband passed. And I was going through the office. It was like, that book is here. I need that book. Because so many of my husband's stories that he used in his sermons were in this book, and I wanted to remember them. And once I started going through the book myself, I thought, well, hey, that's an even more powerful book than I thought. So I'm going to share something with you today. So, of course, this is January, starting where we are. There are two things I want to share with you. This is by Lawrence Kushner in the Book of Words. It's about how we spiritually look at our work and understanding that every job has meaning. Lawrence says, God puts you where God needs you. You are where you are supposed to be. The job you are doing may not be any easier on account of this. Indeed, it may be harder, even more urgent. But now you are centered, focused, clear. So this is where I am supposed to be. I always thought I was supposed to be somewhere else, doing something else, being someone else. But I realize now that I was mistaken. This does not mean that I can't or will not be doing something else. Just right now, I am where God wants me to be. So we want to start right where we are, knowing it's perfect right where we are. And from Ram Dass in Compassion in Action, bless him, rest in peace. Everything in our lives has brought us to exactly where we are. When we don't already know what is calling us to act, all we need to do is look and listen right where we are. It will probably be near. Maybe not geographically near, because our neighborhoods are not physical, not only physical, but it will be near. It will be near. That which is calling us is always present. And through our explorations in consciousness, we can explore who we are, how we are, how we're growing, what we're thinking, how our lives are changing, how we are being supported this year, and answer that which is calling us. We may not have the whole big answer right now, but we answer every day with an opening of our heart to say, what is mine to do today? What is mine to do today? And then listen. Definitely listen. Joel Goldsmith, thank you for this, Noble, said, the natural man is turned inward to seek within himself for that which requires, for that which he outwardly requires. So he's turning inward to seek within himself for that which he outwardly requires. This inward turning becomes a search for God. So our experiences, our inward turning is what transforms our consciousness. It's what transforms our conscious awareness. When we look within, we are aligning ourselves with the one mind, with our higher self, our self with a capital S. And so when we ask questions of our higher self, what does it do? It answers. Why does it answer? Because the universe can only say yes. I ask a question, I receive an answer. Always. We don't always like the answer, but that's okay. I used to tell my kids, you may not like the answer, but it's not going to change. It's the answer. So again, in that icon we had for today, you are here. It goes through feelings, through actions, and through results. Now our five-step affirmative prayer process is in alignment with that, or it is in alignment with us as much as it can be. We have five steps in our prayers. The first thing we always do is center ourselves. This isn't like the Hail Mary, the Our Father that you just rattle off. Every prayer is unique. Everyone is unique because you are unique. You can't be the same as anybody else. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Because where would we be if everybody were the same and there were not a unique thought to be had? We'd probably still be in a cave trying to rub two sticks together to make fire. Oh no, wait, that was a new idea. So our five steps are recognition, unification, realization, thanksgiving, and release. It's like, well, that's a nice list. What the heck does it mean? We teach people this prayer process by giving them kind of a little code that will help remember. Are you ready to receive? Say that. Are you ready to receive? And what's the answer? Yes. Yes. Okay, so R for recognition, U for unification, R, or ready for realization, 2 is for thanksgiving, and receive is release. Now, these five steps are a scientific process. So we can create our prayers according to this scientific process, and they will be answered. We can go step by step, fill in the blanks. God is all there is. I am one with God. I know and accept for myself that all my good is here now. I am thankful. I release. And so it is. Okay, so that's cut and dried, bare bones. But we know that prayer and spiritual mind treatment is a communion with the divine. And when we feel, when we sense that communion, then there's a fire. So we've got the technique of the five steps that work, and we've got the fire of our passion, of our deep inner awareness, and that works with or without the process. When we combine the technique and the fire, we are opening ourselves up to transform our experience of the divine. It's very powerful. Very powerful. So recognition means I recognize that there is one infinite and eternal divine source that is all of our creator. I recognize this. I acknowledge it. Because to be honest with you, if there is no source, what the heck are we doing starting to pray? It's like, why? Well, I'll just tell my next door neighbor. You know, I want this or that. Good for you, child. Go home. But we recognize that there is a power greater than we are, and we can use it. Unification, that power that's greater than we are, why can we use it? Why? Because we are unique, individualized centers of the whole. Each one of us is exactly what this is on a unique and individualized scale. So that's why we can use that one power and one presence. Because it is a part of who we are, because we can only be made from what God is. We are made of God stuff. Nothing else. There is nothing else. So what on earth else could we have been made of? Reminds me of the old joke, this group of scientists come together and they've been trying to create life to prove that there is no God. So they finally gather themselves and they go and they approach God and they say, God, we've got it. We figured out how to make life. And God goes, okay. And so they bring in some dirt and God says, wait, make your own dirt. So no matter what we have, it is made of God stuff. The third is realization. Now, realization is where we realize consciously that everything is already ours. Ask in faith, believing, and it shall be done unto you. So whatever we desire in spiritual level, before it becomes form, it's already ours. And I'll tell you a secret. It's yours because you could not have gotten that desire if it didn't already exist as something that was for you. There's one mind. Your desires are up there, and as soon as you catch those thoughts, you speak them into prayer. But they're already done, just waiting for you to realize it. So that's the realization step. And everything in the realization step we use as an affirmation. Ask in faith, believing, and it shall be done to you. So ask, believing it's already yours. I am prosperous. I am intelligent. I am gainfully employed. I am financially independent. I am joy. I am love. I am creativity. I am. And you claim it, name it and claim it in that realization step. Because it's already yours. You're just saying, hey, I recognize that it's already mine. And then the thanksgiving. Well, of course, we thank because it's already ours. It's not, I'm going to do all this, and then when it arrives, I'm going to say, oh, thank you, God. No, the promise is it already exists. And through our gratitude, it moves through and as us more abundantly because we recognize it's already there. It's already ours. And we do that by saying, thank you. Thank you. Because I know in my mind, I know in my heart, it's already mine. Thank you. And then the last step, release. Release. We release our words, our technique, our fire into the vastness of the impress of the universe. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? To prove our faith. We release to prove our faith, to show our faith, to express our faith. Sure, we said, God is all there is, I'm one with God, I know and accept my good, and I'm grateful that it's done. And now I'm going to hang on to this idea so that the universe can't bring it to me because my hands, my fists are closed. We need to open them up. We need to release it. Allow it to be. Let it go. And then simply be open to receive whatever it is when it shows up physically. Release is how we show our faith. Now, I can't think of a more amazing way of living than to know this and to know that it applies for everything, everywhere, every person, all the time. It says that God is no respecter of persons. That doesn't mean that he disrespects persons. What it means is he sees no difference. He, she, it sees no difference. Male, female, whatever. You one of these, what do we got now, 150 different pronouns for people? No difference. If you're rich, if you're poor, what color your skin is, how many arms you have, how many ears you have, whether you're injured or your body is injured or not, doesn't matter. Everyone is the same. Even even whether you're hungry or not. So it's not that the divine disrespects all, but that it is a part of all. It can't very well say no to myself. I'm standing against myself and I'm not going to allow this for myself. I'm not going to allow myself to be myself and fulfill my own desires. Your will and God's will align. They align when you are in the consciousness and the awareness of first doing no harm. All the good that you are claiming is already yours. So name it and claim it. I love to talk about affirmative prayer. I really do. So as we go through this explorations of consciousness through this year, we've got this month, start where you are. Next month, love points the way. That's always a fun one. And then March, living in balance. So through the whole year, we're going to be going through these step-by-step processes for our explorations in consciousness so that we are expanding and growing and realizing the wholeness within us, consciously aware of what we're doing. We do that so that we have a strong foundation, a very strong foundation. We don't build our dreams on sand. We don't build houses of sand, sand castles in the sky, cloud castles in the sky. We know this is a foundational truth. This is a fundamental truth of the entire universe, of everything that is. And so we reinforce our own foundation always. That is reinforcing also the renewing of our mind. I have a from the spiritual literacy book again. When we watch animals, they can make us question things and they can help us discover our place in the universe. This is from Edward Hayes in his book, Pray in All Ways. We can learn a lesson from the little spider. Watch a spider as she patiently rebuilds her web each time it is broken or removed. Seldom will she move its location, but chooses to rebuild it with patience. She weaves its broken strands each time they are broken. She waits in patience for dinner to come into her white cosmos of tiny threads. Like the spider, we must return again and again to rebuild our webs by bringing together the threads of our lives and uniting them to the divine center within. Without such work, our lives become disconnected, unpeaceful, and broken. Perhaps the next time we see a spider's web, we can see it as a spiritual classroom and not simply something to be swept away. I love spiders outside of my house. Occasionally they get a little too close to the door on my porch. And so I have been known to take a little stick and disconnect it from my porch. And then it, you know, flies out. I come back the next day, it's there again. But I remember one time doing that, going in the house, getting ready to go somewhere, walking out, and there is that spider web already right back up in that corner where the spider wanted to attach it from my porch to the edge of my house. I'm not big on killing things. So what I do is I tell them what I expect of them. So I told the spider, "No, I do not want you attached to my porch. You're already over there on the house on the eave. That's good enough. Attached to something else." And I broke it again. And I came home. And I have not had a spider web in that corner since. Now, maybe that spider died, but I set my intention for that corner. And so I don't have to reach up and break away the little strands so that it can go someplace else. So think about when things seem to be shredding or coming unraveled in your life. Remember the spider web. All you need to do is shore up your foundation, and you have the spiritual tools to do it. So thank you for your time and your attention today. Namaste.